There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
It's Drive Live, and it's Drive Live Talks Tech for the next 35, 40 minutes. So if you have a question to put to Abbas Jafar Ali from Tech Radar, please do so, 4001 via the free app or 423 1010. We're talking phones first, though.
Drive Live Talks Technology.
And here he is, Abbas, lovely to see you.
Always good to be here, Tim.
There's some kind of a buzz about you today because the news that you bring is that you're looking at three phones at the moment that you're renewing or are being launched. And
That's
then we've
right.
got how many more? Four more?
Three or four more coming down the road.
In the next, I mean, literally in days.
It's just crazy. I think this year has been crazy. Normally we have seasons where phones are launched. It's either spring or fall where, you know, most of the manufacturers release their phones. But this year, literally every week, we've been, you know, we're seeing a new phone.
Well, it generally tends to be, doesn't it? That you get the Mobile World Congress.
That's
and
right.
Be an
exactly.
announcement.
Exactly. So that's where most of them are. And then around Apple's iPhone. That's
Apple's
when,
IDC event, isn't it?
WWDC. Yeah.
WWDC, yes. That's right. And
that's coming up in a couple of weeks, actually.
Okay. Any foresight of what might happen
there? Maybe new iPads, the new version of macOS, iOS. Obviously, that's what the developer event is for. Mm-hmm. Maybe you might see new MacBooks as well. We'll have to wait and see for that.
Okay, because the old, is it MacBook Air, is going to be discontinued,
MacBook
isn't it?
Air will those, probably be discontinued.
They're pretty cheap at the moment. Yeah. Still a nice machine, though.
Oh, fantastic machine, especially the battery life is, you know, great on them. They last you 12, 13 hours. Great.
Which is incomparable to most machines. Anyway, look, let's get back to phones. Which one do you want to talk about first? You have a phone in your hand. It is...
That's right. So I've got the LG G7 Thin Q. Very, very weird name
G7
for it.
Thin Q.
Thin Q. The Q is a capital Q at the end of it. I don't know why they chose that name. Thin Q is their AI-driven technology, which literally every phone...
Is it Thin Q or is it Think?
No, it's Thin Q.
It is Thin Q.
It is Thin Q. You'd think it's Think, but it's not. It's actually Thin Q.
Okay.
So I don't know why they do
well,
that.
Well, it looks very like the iPhone 10.
It does. It
10,
does.
The
Most
X.
phones are starting to look like that. They've got a notch on top on the display, and they've got this tall 18:9 aspect ratio. So most phones are starting to look a bit like this. The OnePlus 6 also launched just a week earlier, or actually just a few days earlier. We had the Honor 10 that launched again just a few days back as well. There's the HTC U12 Plus that's launching tonight in the UAE. It's launched globally just a couple of hours back. We've got our hands on that as well. And it continues. Like BlackBerry's coming up with their next Key 2 phone just a few, you know, a few weeks later. Lenovo's coming up with another one. It just continues. There's no stopping.
The appetite must be there, though. If all these phones are coming out, people must be really interested. So talk us through the LG phone then.
Sure.
Tell us a bit more about
it. So this is LG's flagship phone. Generally, LG releases the phone around MWC, which is around March time. But this year around, they said they're not going to follow the yearly schedule. They're going to release the phone whenever it's ready. And I believe they're ready for it now. Couple of things that are really great about this phone is audio. So if you've got the speaker on this phone, it's fantastic. If you just lay it down flat, it's got this technology where it uses the floor or whatever surface it's on and reverberates or whatever that term is.
Okay.
And amplifies the sound quite a bit. So it's really loud. You wouldn't think that it's coming out of a phone. So I think that's the great feature on it. It's got Google Assistant built in. There's a button dedicated to it. So you can just push that and ask Google any question on that. Samsung's got Bixby, so they're going Google.
So it's similar.
Similar to that. Mm-hmm. They still have two cameras on the back. One of them is an ultra-wide lens. One of them is the regular lens. LG is the only one doing that. Almost everybody else is using a telephoto lens, so a 2x zoom, 3x optical zoom, but they're going for this ultra-wide look. Some people like it. I'm not necessarily a big fan of it. Gets you some creative shots, but you know that's pretty much about it. Screen is nice. It's a 6-inch, if I believe, edge-to-edge display. It's an IPS panel. It's not OLED like Samsung or the iPhone, so the colors don't pop. But they've got this super brightness mode, which turns up the brightness to 1,000 nits. 1,000 nits is massive. So, I mean, even during a very, very, very sunny day outdoors, you can see the screen very clearly.
Oh, see,
that.
That's handy because all too often you're out and you're right
exactly,
like this
with
the screen.
No, it's super bright, wireless charging, audio DAC is high fidelity. So it's a flagship in every regard.
Is it better battery life because it's not an OLED screen?
No, not necessarily. OLED's actually better for battery.
Is it?
So yes, it is. Because an OLED screen, what happens is the pixels turn off themselves on the screen, mm-hmm. whereas on an IPS or LCD screen, you always have a backlight that kind of dims across. So you always have that going on. So it's there. It's got everything. It ticks every box. But the thing is that almost every other phone out there does that too. you know, I think with the S8 last year, I think that's where we saw the last innovation in designs of phones and stuff like that. I think that was a game changer. And then following that, yes, the iPhone introduced, well, iPhone didn't introduce a notch. There was a company called Essential which introduced the notch, but iPhone popularized it. A little cutout on the screen. LG has it. OnePlus has it. You know, every other manufacturer is kind of going at that. So that design trend will continue, I think, for the next year or so until foldable displays start coming in. So phones will look very much alike, will have all the top-end specs, will have all the bells and whistles. That's going to be the case for the next
year. You have to try so hard to find a point of difference now between phones, don't you?
Oh, it is. I mean, for example, the HTC U12 Plus that's launching tonight, what they've done is the side bezels are actually touch sensitive. So you can double tap the side bezel and perform an action. For example, if you want to hit the back button, instead of going down on the screen and pressing the back button, just double tap the side of it. Or just take a picture double tapping the side of it. So the edge of the phone, the bezel of the phone, is touch sensitive. Now, they're trying weird things. They're trying different things. Sometimes they work. A lot of times they don't.
Oh, that's quite complicated for me. I struggle with
tap.
Yeah. I'd be like, oh, am I going back? Or am I taking a photo? Or what's happening here?
Yeah, you'd have all sorts of photos at the back of your head. And you'd be thinking, how on earth did that happen? Wouldn't you, NRT? I want to come back and talk about points of difference, actually, because it strikes me that perhaps that wide-angle thing, some people are looking for different photographic possibilities, so perhaps that is kind of the point of difference here. Yeah. So I can see that. But we've got other phones to talk about. Questions for Abbas, get in touch. Maz is asking about forced advertising online, so we'll have a chat about that in a minute. We've got other things to talk about as well. Drive Live Talks Tech. For example, Google launching YouTube Music, the mute button on Instagram. That
one. Oh, I bet you've been looking forward to that, Tim.
Tell you what, that caught my eye. Let me tell you, it's Drive Live Talks Tech. Do you know what? I'll share a piece of inside information for you now. When I was, I think, maybe 4 or 5, I had a big panda. And it was a big cuddly toy panda thing, right? And it was about the size of me. And I used to fight the panda.
I love pandas.
Yeah, well, they're very cute creatures. And I used to fight it. And me and my panda, who I think was imaginatively named Panda, we used to fight and roll down the stairs. And I always remember, and this is what my mother used to shout, because she was worried because we'd roll down the stairs. But when you're a four-year-old, nothing hurts. You just bounce, right?
Yeah.
She used to be like, Timmy! What did that remind you of? Right there.
Xena calls you Timmy.
It's like you're channeling my mother. It's like I'm going backwards. It's like Benjamin Button. Do you
Timmy.
Know what I mean?
Timmy is your mother. And earlier you compared me to your grandmother.
Yeah, I know. So there's some weird stuff going on here. Freud would have a field day. So it's Drive Live Talks Tech. Abbas, I'm so sorry you're in the middle of this. It is nice to see you. Abbas is from Tech Radar. There are questions in for you, a few things to put to you. Let's start with Toro, who's on line 5. Toro, afternoon.
Hi, Timmy. How are you?
Nice one, Toro.
Oh, man. Are you welcome on this show? You're channeling my father, it seems. What was it you wanted to ask Abbas, Toro?
Okay, great. So I have an iPhone 7, and I just have an issue with the storage. So I was wondering if there's a way, let's say, for example, I want to clear my memory on my phone, okay? So what I noticed is previously when I tried to clear my memory, like let's say whatever photos that I've taken, they usually automatically synchronize onto the cloud. So what I wanted to do is if I delete some photos from my phone, I also noticed that they got deleted as well from the cloud. So is there a way that I can just like save everything on the cloud and clear my phone, but without actually, you know, deleting from both sides? That makes sense.
Sure. What I would recommend is if you have access to a computer, it's probably going to be faster because it looks like you've got tons of data if your phone's sort of running out of space. So instead of backing up to a cloud, which could take a long time, launch iTunes, connect your phone to it, do a local backup. It's going to back up every single thing, single thing, every picture, every contact, every phone log, everything's going to go on there. So I suggest you do that instead of backing on the cloud. And then, yes, you're welcome to wipe the phone clean. And then if you want to restore the backup, you can do that. Restore it from the cloud, you can do that, or if you want to just start fresh, you can do that too.
Have you got and lots of photos on there, Toro? Is that the issue?
Yeah,
Are you exactly?
And videos as well. So yeah, okay, I'll try that on the computer. So I'll just use the iTunes, right?
That's right.
Okay,
perfect. Thank you.
Sounds
Thanks,
good.
Guys.
Appreciate it. Good to talk to you. Drive safe.
Okay, cheers. Bye.
Right, that's Toro. So question one. Here's another question for you. Let's just bring this up for a moment. I'm super duper annoyed with forced ads, which we can't skip before videos on YouTube. Any way to get rid of them or reduce them?
Not in this region. So other parts of the world, there's a YouTube paid service called YouTube Red, which is now being transferred into YouTube Premium that we can get to a little bit later. But that actually allows you to have a premium subscription-based ad-free experience on YouTube. YouTube's got to pay the bills, right? I mean, you're watching all those videos. People, they've got those servers running. They've got the bandwidth. They got to pay the bills. And advertising pays for that. You know, if you're willing to go the subscription route, which will hopefully come to this region sometime soon, yes, you will be able to do that. Other than that, no.
Is there any method to it, though? Because sometimes you might go on and there's no adverts, and sometimes you do have adverts. Does it depend on how popular the content is or how heavy a user you are?
It does a bit, and also depends on how much the advertisers have bid for a particular piece of content. So the way it works is that, you know, YouTube's got tens and thousands of advertisers bidding for space on pre-before videos, pre-rolls. So it just kind of depends. Okay, you know what? I'm bidding 5 cents for this user in the United Arab Emirates who's interested in cars. And if YouTube has an ad that's paying them 5 cents, they'll show that. If they don't have it, that's good. That's when it gets skips.
Okay.
It's a great advertising model, isn't it? What a position to be in if you are YouTube. Let's get back to the phones because, as we were saying, you've brought in the
LG G7 10Q.
Okay. There's no way of keeping that in this tumbleweed up here, to be honest. But that's one phone. Mm-hmm. You've got three others under review.
Right. So HTC U12, basically that's launching in the UAE tonight. We're going to be getting a hands-on on that. We've had a sneak preview by HTC on that a couple of days ago. Uh-huh. That's coming in. And then the Honor 10 was launched just 2 days ago. The review is already up on the website for that. OnePlus 6 is launching in the region. I think it's coming next week. It's going to be available through souq.com exclusively. So if you're looking to get a very high-spec phone at a reasonable price, I think it's for $21.99, which is a pretty good price for a super high. I mean, it's got literally the same specs as this LG that's next to me.
Okay. What is the LG cost, by the way?
So this one, they haven't revealed the pricing, but my guess would be about 2,800 to 2,900 dirhams. It would be right in the range of the S9.
Yeah. Right, okay. Yeah, well, that makes sense. The HTC that's coming out tonight, mm-hmm. nice color. I know that seems a little bit wishy-washy, but it is.
So it's releasing in three colors. One of them is your ceramic black, which is sort of like a gray black. HTC's got this finish which mirrors, you know, the light shines differently when you look at it at different angles.
Right.
So it switches between black and gray. The other color is the red, which switches between a red and a golden. And finally, the third one, which is the most interesting color they have, is a translucent blue. So it kind of lets you see inside the phone. You can actually see the components in the phone through a translucent back cover, which I think looks quite cool. A bit geeky. I love it. But, you know.
I love your honesty.
There's nothing wrong with that at all. There's nothing wrong with that, is there?
Not in any way. So it's really unfair to ask you to put you on the spot to say, look, which is the best phone? And it's also subjective.
Sure.
But let's look at take these four, for example, mm-hmm. in terms of features. So the blue translucentness will be attractive to some people. The HTC, for the other colours, I suppose.
Sure.
But in terms of features, the LG there with the wide-angle lens camera is going to appeal to a sector, isn't
absolutely.
It?
Absolutely. So it's got that as a differentiating factor. HTC's got those touch-enabled bezels, which are a differentiating factor for it. OnePlus has got the pricing on its side. All three of those phones have exactly the same chipset on them, the Snapdragon 845, either 4 gigs or 6 gigs of RAM, 64 gigs, 128 gigs of storage. So they're literally identical phones internally. It's just what's added on top. I think OnePlus might do well because of the pricing. $21.99 is a great price. It runs a fairly clean version of Android, so I think a lot of people might go for that. If you want something a little bit more personalizable, I think HTC is good with that. They've got their own skin, which makes the phone look very much as to what you want it to do.
Right.
And if you want to be a little bit creative, I think the LG's got a nice little camera, a different kind of dual camera setup compared to everything else that's out there. So it really depends on your needs. You can't really say one is better than the other because they're literally the same thing with little nicks and differences between them that will appeal to different people.
So you've really got to do your research, do your homework and think, well, actually, a wide-angle lens, for example, would be great for me. I like panoramic shots.
Absolutely.
Going to the Grand Canyon, whatever.
Absolutely. If you prefer bokeh effects, then, you know, maybe the HTC is better for you. So, you know, it just depends on what you want.
Right. And then, of course, there's another iPhone coming.
That's right. I'm actually excited about the new iPhone.
Well, it's nice to see you excited about Apple again, because I think you kind of, they went off the boil with
you. Sure, absolutely. But I think they're kind of coming back. The iPhone X was a good experiment, and now that they've had almost a year to play with it, to finesse it, I think the iPhone 11 or whatever it's that they call it, it's going to be a nice product because it's going to be a very fine-tuned version of the iPhone X. One of the things that I really like about the iPhone X, which hasn't been done on any other phone, is if you look at the screen, it's literally stretched right to the bottom of it. Mm-hmm. Most of the other phones have this little chin at the bottom, whereas the iPhone tends to go all the way down. There's a particular reason for that. If I can be a little technical, the screen requires a dongle or a connector internally, which is a rigid piece. So you need some space below it, which is why you see this chin where the connector is actually hiding.
Right.
What Apple's done is Apple charges you $1,000. So they actually wrap the screen around to the back. And the pin, the connector is actually on the back of it. And since they wrap the screen, it allows them to go all the way down to that. Costs them a bit more to make a phone, but then, you know, that's what you get out of it.
Okay. Mm. Bit of finesse, though.
Yeah, and this is what you kind of agree with this policy. Go in on the second version when they have a big change so that they've ironed out the issues. And that's kind of, you're both on the same page, aren't you?
I think that with all engineering, to be honest with you. That's just the way I feel. Let's talk to our favourite friendly neighbourhood dentist. Dr. Carthy is on the line.
Hello, Timmy. How are you?
This is really going to catch on now.
This is actually lovely. You know that? Me and Natalie.
Oh, dear. Well, you never know. Next week we could be a children's show in the morning. So let's see how that goes.
Sounds good also, yeah.
Nice to talk to you. So you've got a question about camera lenses. What did you want to ask?
Yes. See, I have an FX camera, Nikon, and I'm looking for a 70 to 200mm FX lens. But Nikon is pretty high cost for my budget. So I'm looking at Tamron or Tokina or Sigma. Which would Abbas suggest for me?
Look, I'll be honest with you. I'm not a geek when it comes to cameras, but I have heard of Sigma. I think Sigma is the brand that I could sort of relate to. I've, you know, used their lenses before. They have a good reputation. I don't know about the other two brands, so I don't know if I can recommend you correctly in this instance, unfortunately. Like I said, I'm not a camera geek, but Sigma is a brand that I've heard of.
I tell you what, though, I can help you here because I am something of a camera geek.
Tim is a camera geek, yeah.
Yeah, so I have had Tamron. I've never had a Sigma lens. I always had a couple of Tamron lenses. It's all about the mount, the interchangeability of the mount, of course, depending on whether you go Canon or Nikon or whichever you use. Nikon mounts are highly available for Tamron lenses. They tend to be very good. That much I know, and I've had a few, but I think it's much of a muchness. It depends on price. What do you think, Abbas?
You know, the reason that I'm not much of a camera geek is because, and I might get a bit of flack on this, is because I think smartphone cameras have gotten so good over the last 3 or 4 years.
No.
They take fantastic pictures.
Camera is never there.
Never upset a dentist with a drill.
Nothing like my wife.
Look, most of those pictures that you're taking are going to go on social. Let's just face that. And I think
I don't put it on social at all. In fact, I'm not on social. Probably, Instagram. But then, you know, what I do is I take it in the camera and then transfer it to this and put it on my Instagram. Unfortunately, I'm not satisfied with your camera lens. It's pathetic.
Okay, well, fair enough. Well, I'm thinking go Tamron, to be honest with you, but it is, of course, a price thing. Dr. Carthy, lovely to talk to you.
Lovely talking to you. Thank you, bye.
You take it easy. So, there's a question. The Bastafar Ali is here from Tea Break for Tech.
Drive Live talks
and Tech Radar. I got that almost right there, didn't I?
Yes. Oh, it's almost as good as when Nick's here and I call him Nick Radar.
I know. I think he's starting to play up to that these days.
He loves it. He loves it.
Lovely to see you. So let's talk about the stories that you have put down on a list here. Top of that is Google launching YouTube Music. So this is exactly what? Because I can't quite work out the difference between the different services that we have. What does it mean?
So Google loves doing that. They have like multitudes of services for every little thing, whether it's messaging or music in this case. They've had Google Play Music, which is pretty much what Spotify is or Apple Music is. Mm-hmm. But now they're launching YouTube Music Premium, which is YouTube's music service. It's going to let you stream in the background. You're going to be able to download tracks on your phone. It's literally a competitor for Spotify with music videos added into it. So you can have curated YouTube lists from artists, all of that stuff. That's basically it. It's not launching in the UAE or the Middle East at launch. I think it's just 4 or 5 countries. It's US, North Korea, Canada, and I think one more country. But it will hopefully get here someday.
Okay, well, I guess the licensing issues are difficult at the moment for that, for different regions.
Maybe so, but I mean, we've heard that Spotify is finally launching in the region by the end of this year.
Which
so,
has taken some time.
Which has taken some time, but Apple Music's been here since a couple of years now, so, you know.
Okay, does that apply that? Encourage you? You're a Spotify fan, I know that.
Yeah, I am a Spotify. It's catching. I am a Spotify fan, and yeah, that would be good to have that back.
I love
really,
Spotify, I think it's fantastic.
Yeah, I really enjoy it. What's interesting is though, I will say this quickly. My dad had an account, and me and my brother just used to use it because we were too mean to pay for it. And then my dad would be like, "Why? Where have all these songs come on and all these playlists?" And it was me and my brother.
Yeah, but your dad would be like me. He'd be like, "Oh, I don't know. I'll just listen to them."
Yeah, he'd listen to them and say they were terrible. But yeah, he'd be like, "Oh, who's done this?" And then sometimes he'd discover a new artist. So it's good for him.
It's kind of funny how I've got the reverse thing going, where we used to share an app with me and my daughter, and my daughter's like, "Who's putting all these weird old tracks on?" that would be me, the guy who pays
the guy
for the
who
subscription.
Pays it, yeah.
Yeah. See, that ultimately that's the thing. If you pay for the subscription, you get the choice. Just as if you're driving the car, you're in charge of the music.
Absolutely.
I don't care what anybody says, wife included, if you're listening.
Timmy's car rules.
Oh, let me tell you. So look, here's the story that really jumps out, I think. Instagram adding a mute button. What does that mute button allow you to do?
Oh, it's fantastic, and I'm glad it's coming. It's going to be rolling out over the next few days. I think they've launched it, but it takes a few days for everybody to get this feature. So what this going to allow you to do is anyone that's on your Instagram list and you've got posts from them, you can literally just tap the three dots, click mute, and then you won't see the posts from them anymore. I think all of us have had, you know, people we don't want to unfollow because we don't want to, you know, upset them or offend them. But they go on a spree of posting 20 posts in like an hour. And like, can we please get them to just quieten up a little bit? This will let you do exactly that. And I'm super happy this is coming. I've got a few people on my list.
And the person is none the wiser.
Exactly. They don't know anything about it.
They think you're still following them.
Absolutely. To them, your posts are appearing just fine on your feed.
Yeah. It's great. It's interesting because I had, in a previous workplace, one woman went round and asked people who had unfollowed her on Twitter why.
Ooh, wow.
So,
that's awkward.
Wow.
Yeah. So it would save that awkward conversation.
Yeah, I've had people like literally post sayings 20 times a day, do this, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, yeah.
You can mute out the noise. Okay, shall we, do we have any more stories to look at? We've done the mute button. Okay, yes, one more story. This is the lend and borrow items in Dubai. So how can we do that? What's the way to do that?
So there's a new app with a very weird name.
I thought it was a spelling mistake.
Yeah, no, can you just pronounce that? Because I don't know how to pronounce
Tenerit. Do you think it is?
Tenerit? Is that a word? I mean, I don't know.
It is becoming a word, maybe. I don't know. I would say Tenerit, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, Tenerit would be my guess.
But I guess this is basically an app that's going to let you lend your things for a fee to somebody who's willing to borrow them for the weekend, maybe 3 days, maybe 5 days. I don't know how good this plan is because the app isn't offering any insurance to the lender. So if somebody, you know, just runs away with your stuff, you're liable, you're in charge, you know, they're not taking any responsibility for any of that. So I'm not quite sure if this is the right business model. I'm not sure if I'm comfortable giving, I don't know, let's see if I have an extra phone that somebody wants to borrow for the weekend.
I was going to say, what items? One thing it does need is a mute button, you would think, wouldn't you? What kinds of items? So if you wanted to lend...
So everything from tools
car.
Or barbecue or whatever else. I doubt anybody would want to lend their car to a stranger. At least I wouldn't.
At least the car's insured, though, because you're insured for all drivers,
that
I suppose. That gets around that. But so if you have a... I don't know, somebody wants to borrow your drill, they need to do some DIY, that
Absolutely.
Kind of thing.
So they're being smart by using location services. Mm. So if anybody in your neighborhood has something similar, then you just connect the two of you, you agree on a rate, you go, you pay them, you know, you use whatever it is that you want to use and you return it hopefully in good condition to them at the specified time that you said you would. I think there are too many ifs and buts around it. But
I suppose if it's like many of these apps, isn't it? If you can rate the borrower and rate the lender, after a while you start to build up trust. Or perhaps that's the way it will go. I don't know.
Maybe, but how often would you want to...
Who wants to be the first person to try that, though? That's the thing.
Yeah, that's a difficult one. So that's the Tenerit app. Here you go. Let's go to the text line for a moment. It is... how to share video from Messenger to WhatsApp, Manoj is asking.
Oh.
Is that a possibility? Video from Messenger to WhatsApp. I would guess it's just the sharing button, isn't it?
Ideally, both of them belong to Facebook at the end of the day, so it should be very easy to do that. Having said that, Facebook apps don't necessarily work very well with each other. If you've got Android, I think it's going to be easier to share because Android's got the system-wide sharing thing. Well, iOS does too, but it's a bit more restrictive on that. But I would assume that it would just literally take that video, play it on your media player on your phone, and then hit the share button from there, and then just... you know, fire off to WhatsApp.
Yeah, you would have thought so. Yakub was asking a while ago, and sorry we didn't get to this yet, Yakub, but we do now. Not a fun question. I saw Polaroid's made an updated instant camera. Do you know when it will be released in the Middle East? I know Fuji
did. Yeah, absolutely. Something. And Fuji recently updated. I'm not sure if he's just confusing between the two of them, and maybe Polaroid has released one as well. I don't know about that one, but Fuji did release an Instapix update just I think a week or 10 days ago. And look, I mean, the cameras are available here in the Middle East, the older models, so I'm guessing the new ones should shortly follow.
It's a couple of hundred dirhams for the Instax.
They're about camera. 300 dirhams, yeah. 300 dirhams. Okay.
So much fun though. Adnan asks, I'm using an iPhone 6. I'm looking to upgrade, but I'm confused in terms of options between an iPhone 8 and an iPhone 10. What suggestions do you have, or are you going to suggest Adnan holds on?
Exactly. I suggest that, look, Apple releases new phones in September. We're already end of May, so literally just June, July, and August to go. Just hang on to it. If you don't like what Apple releases with the iPhone 11 or whatever else it is, the price for these phones that you've just said will go down. That's what always happens. Apple always reduces prices for them. Just hang on for 3 more months and then, you know, I'd suggest make your move then.
Here you go. Is it safe to buy a MacBook Air from Souq rather than Apple? It's a bit cheaper. Is there a risk? Rohit's asking. I've done that, Rohit. It's fine as far as I'm concerned. What would you say about it?
Absolutely. I've bought a lot of things from Souq, Noon.com. In fact, just yesterday, I bought my mom an iPhone 6 from Noon. You know, it's just fine. I mean, there's absolutely nothing wrong with that.
iPhone 6 is quite a lot cheaper now as well.
Yeah, they had a promo on it. They had it for 1,000 dirhams, which I thought was a fantastic deal. So just pick that up.
Okay. Mm. And somebody texts in, you were talking about YouTube Music coming. It's launching in four countries.
Yes.
And somebody says, did I hear right, US and North Korea? I think we probably meant South Korea. I was going to say, well, you never know. Kim Jong is probably a fan of music.
That's part of the deal he's signing with Donald Trump. You have to make YouTube Music available.
Exclusive here on Drive Live.
You heard it here first. We are, of course, joking. There are lots of questions to get to and a couple more things I want to ask you.
Sure.
You've got 15 more minutes just to stay around.
Absolutely.
Abbas is going to stay. If you have a question for Abbas Jafar Ali from Tech Radar, then drop it to us on 4001 or via the free app. We'll make him stay tied to the chair for a few more minutes.
Drive Live talks technology.
And that's what we're doing for just another 10 minutes because so many questions today to get to and so much phone talk to do, Abbas. Let's face it, you've got 4 phones under review or about to be under review at the moment. That's no exaggeration. Then there's what, another 3-4 to come as well. It's loads to talk about. Yeah. So we're going to get into detail about some of those. What I want to do though is talk to Abdul. Abdul has a particular question about one of those phones that you are currently looking
let's
at.
Get
Abdul
to it.
Is on, let me see, line 6. Afternoon, Abdul.
Hi, Tim.
Good,
how are you doing?
Good to talk to you. Very well, thanks. How are you going?
Yeah, doing all right.
All right, so you're thinking, aren't you, about upgrading from what, a OnePlus 2? Is that right?
Yes, the company's name is OnePlus.
Okay.
A lot of people get confused by the name, but I've been a fan of the company for about like 4 years now.
Okay.
And so they have a very simple model as they only sell their phones online, and they have a couple of different models, so the OnePlus 1. I think Abbas would know more. And they just released the newest OnePlus 6. So,
that's correct.
You know, so I was just wondering what's his take on it.
Well, I think he's the man to talk about this because he's had a look at this phone.
I think it's a fantastic upgrade, Abdul. I think you should definitely go for it. It offers you literally everything that every other manufacturer, highest end flagship, has with a reasonable price. I think it's selling for $21.99, if I remember correctly. On Souq?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit more than that on Souq. Well, actually, I wasn't like asking about the OnePlus 6 only. I wanted to know what you thought compared with the OnePlus 5T.
It's
the model just before.
Sure. So I think it's a very good upgrade from OnePlus 5T as well. I wouldn't buy the OnePlus 5T at the moment because look, it's priced about the same. I think you might get it for a couple of hundred dirhams cheaper. It's running last year's chipset. The camera on it is particularly not very impressive. So OnePlus 6, they've really tuned up the camera and it's got a much nicer finish as well. I think the design also stands out much better on the OnePlus 6. So I'd highly recommend go for the OnePlus 6.
Nice. I've heard something about the phone heating up. Do you know anything about that?
OnePlus 6?
No, the OnePlus 5T.
OnePlus 5T. No, not necessarily. No, I haven't heard anything in particular about it heating up. But again, that would also be another reason why you'd want to go to OnePlus 6, because that uses the latest Snapdragon 845 processor, which is smaller in size, more efficient, less power hungry, so makes more sense.
How is the dual camera, though, the fact that, does it make a huge difference?
It does if you want to create portrait shots. I think that OnePlus is specifically focusing on that with the OnePlus 6, so it makes a really big difference with that.
I think we've helped you make your choice there, Abdul. What would you say? Are you a OnePlus 6 kind of guy now?
I hope so. I think I'm going to check Silk and see what I find.
All right. Well, look, appreciate you calling. All the best. Hope it goes well for you.
Thank you.
All right, then. So that's Abdul. Let's see. Sandra texts in for you. Before we go back to the phones, just quickly, Tech Radar, that's you, Abbas. Thoughts on the Nokia 7?
The Nokia 7 Plus, I'm assuming, is what they're asking for.
Okay.
Because that's the one that was just released about 3 or 4 weeks back. It costs $1,299. And I think if that's the budget that you have for a phone, it's the best phone available in that price range. It's got the Snapdragon 660 processor, which is slightly slower, but comparable to what the top-end phones had about 2 to 3 years back. It's still very speedy, dual camera on the back, massive 3,800 milliamp battery, 6-inch screen, the works, it's running Android One. So a very clean version of Android, which makes it super snappy to use. I think it's, if you have about 1,300 odd dirhams or so, it's the best phone to get right now.
Okay, we've had a text in from Saqib. This one is about Facebook. So he says, I can't see live videos playing on Facebook. I can only see it after it goes to recorded. So, you know, if someone's doing a live video, he's trying to look at it on his phone. He can't. He says, it's on my iPhone 7. If I'm logged onto Facebook on the PC, it's no problem. He's uninstalled the Facebook app and he's tried everything he can think of without success. Any advice?
Wow. I honestly don't know. iPhone 7 is a fairly new phone and it should have absolutely no problems running the Facebook app or live videos on Facebook for you. I honestly don't know. If you've uninstalled the app, that's what I would have recommended to you as well.
Yeah.
But if you've already done that, I don't know.
Could it be an issue with his settings at all? No.
If he's uninstalled the app, then literally all of those settings go away and then they should be able to, you know, play back when he relaunches that app. But he's already done that, so I'm afraid I can't help you on that.
Okay, let's talk to you about Tahir text a little while ago. Samsung S8 Plus, the Bixby button, of course. It's stuck inside because Tahir dropped it. Anything that I can do to fix that? I was told by a servicing shop that I need to replace the LCD. I note that the phone is working perfectly fine. There's no issue with that. However, the Bixby button is stuck and obviously inaccessible.
That's a bit strange. I don't think you'll need to replace the LCD. I think it's just a matter of fixing the button. A slightly unconventional method is that the S8 or the S9 both
I love the unconventional methods.
Look, they're waterproof phones, right? Why don't you just put some water in a tub, put a little bit of soap in it so it's a little bit, you know, you get a little bit of grease on it. Just put that in there. Try clicking the button a couple of times. Your phone's not going to get damaged. It's waterproof. It's IP68 rated. So you can literally take a shower with it if you want to.
Yeah.
Try that. Maybe that might let the button slip out of whatever position it's locked in. Otherwise, just take it to the Samsung's got a service center in Media City. Mm. And just it's literally just popping the button out. I don't think you'll need to replace the LCD on that.
And that should be pretty cheap. I know with most of the newer Samsung phones, you get a year or so to fix a cracked screen,
don't you?
There's a warranty.
Right, yes. It comes with you pay 199 dirhams for it, which is ridiculously cheap for changing a screen.
Yes.
But yeah, you do get that.
Okay then. Let's look at just where we're going with phones. Just very quickly, we've got a couple of questions to ask you. But this is the thing. I would observe this. You've got four phones under review at the moment. All pretty similar in many ways, each with probably unique points, wide-angle lenses, etc. We've talked about that.
Sure.
You've got another three or four that you're going to be reviewing.
Sure.
And it's kind of odd because most of the time phones, there's a launch in kind of September, October time. There's one in sort of February, March time. It's slightly odd that so many phones are coming out now. My observation would be to you that if so many of these phones do very much the same thing, they look very similar.
Mm-hmm.
It's very hard to tell an iPhone X apart from the LG that you have there, for example. Why are we not just all waiting for the next iteration, you know, the next standard of phones, which are likely to be smaller but folding, for example? We know that tech's coming next
year. Sure. I mean, look, foldable phones have been promised for the last 3 or 4 years, if I remember correctly. That was the first time Samsung showed them. And every year we think they're going to be available by the end of the year. But it's we thought they're going to be available in 2017. That's not the case. I don't think we're going to see them in 2018, maybe 2019. Now, I mean, based on some information that I've read, Samsung is looking to release one early 2019. And if you can hang on until then, if your phone works just fine, you know, yeah, absolutely, you're absolutely right. Why not wait for the next leap in tech as far as phones are concerned, instead of buying something that, you know, everybody else has? Also keep in mind that when this technology is new, it's going to be expensive. There might be issues with it. So for it to sort of streamline and come to an affordable level, that might take another year or two as well. You know, yeah, so that's my take on that.
Okay, so from an engineering standpoint, it might be better to wait for a little bit longer.
Absolutely, yes.
Okay,
Manit texted and asked, what would be the best choice in terms of brands to set up a personal cloud at home? So obviously for personal use.
I think Western Digital makes a nice one. They've got their MyCloud lineup of hard drives that you can just set up at home and then access remotely. So I've used that and I think that works quite well. I'd recommend that.
Please suggest an easy to use, this is difficult, I know you're not a drone expert, do you have anything in mind though? Around about 300 dirham selfie drone, good camera to record my 2-year-old son's childhood. So unique perspective to do that with a 2-year-old, but is there anything that jumps out to you?
Sorry, did he say 300 dirhams?
I know, I'm thinking that's going to be hard, isn't
that's
it?
That's going to be very challenging. I think Dragon Mart's going to be your best solution for that.
All right, then. So there you go, Syed. It's Dragon Mart for you. But I mean, what kind of price would you say?
I'd say add a zero to that.
Okay, so you're looking at a few 2,000.
Yeah.
Okay, I just want to come back to a question that was asked a while ago. It was about the Polaroid. I've just done a bit of digging, and it seems there was a sort of a reissue of an old Polaroid camera. So it looks very like the one from the 70s, you know, the original style
right.
one. And it's called One Step to I-Type camera. So it's the new Polaroid camera, but it you can charge it with USB, so it looks like the old Polaroids.
Nice.
But I'm not sure it's been released here.
No, I don't think
it has. So that might be why we've
yeah.
not heard of it. But yeah, reasonably priced, 120 euro. So what about 500 dirham?
Approximately, yeah, around about there.
Roughly.
I suppose you'd better find it online somewhere. You might be able to get one in. But then, of course, you have the issue of finding the Polaroid pictures,
the film
yeah. to load into yes. it, I suppose. Mm. So,
but it does look very, very much like the old Polaroid
very retro.
Setup. Yeah,
I'd
very
like
retro. Mm-hmm.
It's a great thing, though. Now we look at photos and share them by looking at our phones. It's kind of nice to be handed
That's right.
a picture for posterity. You know, it is a very nice looking device. It looks very like the old 70s ones. One more question for you, just before we finish. Hi, I'd like to know if there's any way to retrieve my photos and videos from my water damaged iPhone 6. I am desperate.
Is it powering on at all, or it's not powering at all?
That's all we have. If you can,
right. So if it is powering on, I mean, if you just connect it to your computer via iTunes, and if it recognizes the phone, then yes, you should hopefully be able to retrieve your data. Mm-hmm. And if it's not even doing that, then I recommend just taking it to the Apple Store, see if they could do anything for you to retrieve that. But that's unfortunately is your only hope then.
Well, you would think if it dries out and you can access the memory, there's a way. But I mean, I'm clutching at straws.
No,
here.
Unfortunately,
if it's
not powering on, then it's going to be very difficult.
Okay. All right, then that's the answer to that. That's pretty much it, I think, for Drive Live Talks Tech today. It's we've kept you a lot longer than we normally would. Abbas Jafar Ali is from Tech Radar. Abbas,
always a pleasure to be
really
here.
Really nice to have you here.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.